and I'll get what I need. So that's why we need to have a serious, serious conversation in Congress about banning weapons, and getting stiffer, much, much stiffer rules in place for people to legally purchase weapons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all, that's all I'm saying.
May I pose a question to all of you here? Mm-hmm. If we had a magic magnet from the sky that came down and removed all the weapons, all the guns and rifles and pistols and all that stuff from America, if we had that magic magnet, mm-hmm. would people stop killing each other?
Heck no.
Nope. However,
they would find a way. They'd cross the county line. They'd find a way to buy the alcohol. Exactly. They'd find a baseball bat. They would find something.
Exactly.
People are still going to kill each other.
I understand.
Whether you remove the guns and rifles and all of that or not, they're
that
still going
to
do
it. Doesn't
mean
we have to make it easier for them to kill each other. That's to right. Kill innocent
right. And how many mass murders have been committed by a baseball bat?
Right, exactly. It's a lot easier to run away from somebody swinging a bat. It's a lot easier to subdue somebody swinging a bat. For instance, remember 9/11.
Oklahoma bombing?
They'll find a way
to kill a lot of people.
We're gonna ban the bomb.
The Boston massacre.
A bomb is different. It's not a gun.
Still find a way to kill a lot of people.
Yes, they will.
Well, let's start somewhere. We just can't say, okay, well, nothing can be done, which a lot of legislators are happening right now. And I think it was a U.S. congressman said, we can't do anything about this. Now, to have that attitude, and you're serving the party.
I agree with you, William.
Yeah. We're not going to fix this. We're not going to fix it. Oh, and you have so many legislators right now that are doing this. Now, I'm going to tell you something else. And then you have Congress people. I don't even want to bring up her name and so many others that they're opposing. Oh, my goodness. I saw another article this week. Who is this? I'm trying to think about it. I think she is a lawmaker. I'm sure she is, and talking about her little two-year-old girl has, her two-year-old daughter has a gun and a rifle already. Mm. Now.
Oh, no, they're training them.
A two-year-old. So what are they being indoctrinated into that having guns? Okay. Now, like I said, having a gun is not my first. If I want a Christmas present, the first one is not a gun. Okay. My point is a two-year-old, we should let our children grow up in a happy, nurturing, nonviolent, or the appearance of lifestyle that they can mature. Now, once you are mature enough and you're able to handle a gun, let's think it like this. All of us drive. All of us drive cars. And before you can drive a car legally in the United States, you have to have a driver's license. That's right. Buying alcohol, I think if you're under 21, is still illegal, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But you can buy an assault rifle you can buy an assault rifle at the age of 18, but you have to be 21 to buy liquor.
That's an oxymoron.
Come on, man. How much sense are we making?
William, I'll tell you that I don't think you ever met my son. He's 36 now, but from the time that he was 5, I did with him what my father did, and that was Colonel Ward. Both my parents went through World War II, and they brought us up to respect a tool. That tool can be used for good or for evil, and you and I, we've talked about good and evil a great deal. But my son has been shooting with me since he was 5, and I trained him to respect that weapon, to understand that weapon, understand the evil side of that weapon if it's used inappropriately. And to this day, he's very respectful. When he was young, if you asked him, hey, what kind of gun is this? He said a loaded gun. And that's what bringing young people up to understand the devastation that can occur from that misuse of that tool. So I'm all for, I didn't wish to hide things from him. I wanted to expose him to things and teach him appropriately what was necessary. Because I think he grew up properly in understanding what that weapon can actually do, as all of you understand here on this panel. So I did at when he was 5 years old, I exposed him to it. It wasn't a mysterious secret that where he had to sneak around and maybe find dad's gun somewhere. No, there was guns in my house. I worked gangs and narcotics. There was a gun in every room of my house. And sometimes when I went to Stater Brothers, which is a local supermarket out here, sometimes I wore a bulletproof vest because I was on a hit list for a long time with these gangs. So my son had to grow up around those things, but I taught him to respect those things and understand the devastation and the evil that could be done with those items.
But Mike, you know what?
I'm gonna let you go, Dr. Sims. The key that you just said right there, Mike, you taught him how to respect those things. Okay. You taught him what it was for. You talked to him about, I suppose, both sides of it, the danger of it. And also you taught him the thing about the problem that we're having right now. A lot of these parents don't even know, or they claim they don't know, that their sons or daughters even had a gun. That's a whole difference there. That's a different thing. Dr. Sims.
I was going to say, and Mike, you know, and I commend you on that, anyone who teaches their child for the betterment, but we have to really look at reality and bring out this rationale. We have things who are cartoons and games who are teaching our children to the point where these games are so explicit with their visual is that they can actually see somebody's head blown off, or they can see
they're numb to it.
Batter, oh, and they're numb to it. It is. When my children were raised, and the era our children was raised was totally different, totally different. They respect it a little bit more than they do now. You get children now, they get angry. Yes, they'll pull out a gun because guess what? They visualize that, okay? That's the way to get rid of a problem. So they equate it with that. We have to understand that there's a whole lot of brainwashing going on to the point where even being misguided by parents. Reason why I say that is because you have some parents. I saw a family, an Afro-American family, who was in the backyard training all of their children. But the rationale for training is because of the prejudices that's going on in this world. There's a whole gamut of things. Then you have some who are in the, let's be real, KKK, white supremacy. My thing is, why are you teaching the child? Okay, if you're teaching the child, you're going to use this as kill your predecessor, and you bring out a certain ethnic group that is your predecessor, you know, and you go at, so you're imspewing hate, okay, as versus one is protection, or vice versa on both. So you got
that's the evil.
That's exactly what, that's where I'm going with this, is because you are indoctrinate them to harm somebody else. And many times, these people got quick draw McGraw, got trigger, the fingers is happy. Okay, there's a gun finger. You know what I'm trying to say. Hello. Okay, don't need to hold a gun at all. Okay.
Right.
So my thing is, you look at them wrong now, and you look at what is going on today. That's why I was telling my daughter, I said, your face is so expressionist. Your expression tells, I'm going to get you if you don't stop doing what you're going to do on the freeway. And you can't do that anymore because they'll drive up beside you, don't know your name, and shoot in your car because they're doing it. It's proven. This society right now, this dispensation, everything's going to hell in the handbasket because people's mental capacity is killed or be killed, get rid of the problem. I don't have to, regardless of what the ramifications are, okay, whether you go to jail. The ramifications is, my thing is, I took care of the problem, which you thought it was a problem, because they're being indoctrinated that way. They are, like I said, they're being, just like I was thinking about when you were talking, I said, I'd be fearful to give my grandchildren a gun. No, I won't, because they got hot tempers, some of them. No, I'm just going to be honest. And so for them to pick up a gun and says, oh, I've been taught, and then they see cartoons and things, I can take care of you, and you will be no more. Not thinking that. They're ending a life, okay? Mm-hmm. and with the dull sense of feeling behind what they're doing. And folks, I'm gonna put blame where a lot, because it starts in the White House. Let's be real. Because if they were so concerned about how this nation is ran, I look at children. We want to put it on children. Let's look at them little charlatans up there, because they got some ill will towards the American people, period. Mm-hmm. It's a power struggle. They're not caring about us, okay? I wouldn't give them a gun. I'm just saying.
Well said. Very well said.
I couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. Because they have no sense of consciousness. I wrote down while you were talking, and we were talking about the young men that got a bullhorn. Yeah, some things was out of order. But listen here, we're at a dangerous time, a very dangerous time, where people need to be heard. Because I thought this nation's supposed to be governed for the people. That's what I thought. Okay, yeah. To the people. You wouldn't have a job if there was no people. My point exactly. So my thing is people, we need to get to who is controlling power. And they need to get their heads on right, because they're fighting each other of no avail. Of the outcome is, I won this. And then too, the people over there in the corner is like, they have no effects of it. Their effects is, I didn't win a thing because you really didn't care about me. So it's just a gamut of things. My thing is the psyche of a man. And I guess I've been that way since a child. What makes him tick? What makes him or her think that she is control of everything? And they not, they can't even breathe, think, sleep, boo-boo. Oh, excuse me. Home without sense of consciousness and walk in reality, because these folks can't even, if God didn't give them the breath to breathe, they couldn't do nothing.
Exactly.
So they are out of order, totally out of order.
Totally out of order.
My dad taught my sister about guns. It wasn't just, I'm sorry, go ahead, Dr. Demery.
Sorry, guys.
No, what was that now? Were you asking?
No, I'd like, everything we're discussing here, what's your insight?
Well, you know, I grew up in kind of a unique background, and this is not a blanket statement, nor is it a statement that is, exhaustive. But when I grew up, I had a father who taught me how to use a gun. We went hunting together. We went squirrel hunting. We did all of that. My father taught me to respect guns. You know, he taught me how to use them. He taught me how they are a weapon and a tool for killing another human being, at least at that time when we were talking about handguns. When you look at a handgun, if you look at the psychological premise behind it, most handguns are based on the male phallic symbol, and it is a sense of power. It's a sense of might. And you know my whole feeling about power. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And so my father taught me how that they are very dangerous, and they need to be taught with respect, pretty much like, you know, you taught your son. And so, you know, that's why, I mean, I don't have any problem having guns, because, you know, you have to be able to show respect. And I mean, I have an older assault rifle, but I have an assault rifle, an M1 Grand. You know, it's a much bigger round, but it's still considered an assault rifle. I mean, Patton said it was the number one used weapon in World War II. You know, it's automatic. Every time you pull the trigger, it goes off. And so the point being is that I think we have to get to the point where we can, and this is a spinoff of what Dr. Sims was saying, I think part of what William was saying, we have to get back to the point where we respect life, respect how precious life is, we respect that today, like in my message today, I was talking about the post-death resurrection experiences of Jesus and the disciples. How the post-death resurrection experiences were so important. And we talked about the movie Risen. Some of you may have seen it or heard about it. Well, in the movie Risen, at the end of the movie, the most moving part in the movie for me was here this man was, a leper who was considered, you know, an outcast in society. They were beating this guy. They cast him out of the village. And what did Jesus do? Jesus went over and hugged him and kissed him and gave him a fish, and then he healed him. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's one of the things that happened in society, which is the degradation of society. We don't love one another.
Mm. All right.
Because
all
I
right.
do. I don't like your gender. I don't like skin color. I don't like it as a job. I don't like how you were raised. We have to get back to the point where we can respect. Like you said, Mike, I mean, you know, I respect you because you got horses, man. If you want horses, hey, you know, go out and buy you the horses if you want horses. If you got, you know, burros running around in your yard, because I know up there in the San Clemente Canyon, there's a lot of wild burros that run around up there.
A bunch.
What I'm saying is you got to get to the point where you can respect people, you know, for, I mean, like, for example, I don't like pit bulls. My neighbor across the street has a pit bull. I really hate that bastard. I really do. You know, but, excuse my language, I'm sorry, but he has the right to have a pit bull if he wants one.
If he wants it, right.
There's no law in Riverside County that says you cannot have a pit bull. Mm. So, you know, I say, hey, you know, he's got the pit bull. I got to deal with it. The dogs always bark, and I back out the driveway, and he's barking at me. I said, shut up, man. You know? And he don't shut up. But, I mean, the point being is we have to get back to the point where we respect.
Right.
Even though it may be something that's different or it may be something that we disagree with, we still have to get to the point where we respect one. I'm a member of RAIC, which stands for Redlands Area Interfaith Council. Mm-hmm. We have people in RAIC that are, their religion and their belief system is totally different from mine. Totally right. different.
Right.
But I respect them.
Right.
I respect them to have the right to believe what they want to believe in.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's what we've got to get back to that. I mean, we got to get, I went to a Mormon temple the other day. If you can believe that, a black man speaking in a Mormon temple.
Wow.
And we have to get back to the point where, yes, I disagree with you. No, I don't, you know, believe in the Book of Mormon. But as long as you can respect me as an individual from my point of view on things, then we are at a starting point. And until we get back to that, we're going to continue to have this problem. And it's going to happen again. I don't know when. I'm not trying to be, you know, a prophet of doom. But we're going to have another mass shooting not too long in the future here because of the way society has treated the sanctity of life.
That's right.
We don't put respect on how important human life is and that it is truly a gift from God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've lost that whole concept somewhere in the last 1,000 years or so. I don't know how long ago it's been, but it, particularly here in this country, you know, a life can be taken just at a, you know, at a whiff. And I think we got to get back to respecting one another, even though we have differences. I mean, I like my neighbor. I have him do things. I don't like his pit bull. But, you know, I respect him.
Right.
And I think he respects me because in a strange way, he know, I think he knows I don't like the damn dog. but anyway, I like the fact that, you know, he understands that. But we still respect one another. That's the point. If I was your neighbor, you know, Mike, I would say, look, have the horses if you want. Just put up a fly trap so all them damn flies don't be.
I do. I've got fly traps all over the place.
Amen. What about the breeze with the smell, Jesus?
Oh, my goodness.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
And that's the, you know, a point well taken, Dr. Demery. Respect, because growing up, that's one thing that my mom and dad and grandparents taught me. Respect the other people. That was big in our household. Respect.
Right. Right.
And I learned to respect anybody. I don't care. No matter who you were. It didn't matter.
Yeah.
It didn't matter. Respect one another. And and growing up in my neighborhood, there was a great deal of respect, all over. We had whites in our neighborhood. We didn't have, other than that, it was just mainly black and white in here in Virginia. And we respected one another. One of my mom, she had a great friend that owned a grocery store. It happened to be a white lady, and she was the sweetest thing in the world. I mean, just the sweet people. And it was, my mom taught me, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, sir. Please and thank you.
I was brought up the same way.
The same way. And those are very simple words. But now I wonder in how many households is that simple lesson being taught right now? I wonder.
It's all in my household. But you know what? You have to also, too, when you say respect, William, and it's really key, because one of the things my dad taught me, and I bless him, I'm really glad he did that. He asked me one time, and no pun intended here, he asked me, we were driving, I forget where we were coming from, and just out of the blue, he said, Cecilia, would you ever marry a white man? And he posed that question for a reason. Mm-hmm. And my answer to him, without even thinking about it, I said, Daddy, yes, if he loved me right, and I love him. And that's all he wanted to hear, period. I think if we would get back to, and a lot of times, and the reason why I say that, panel, is because most ethnic groups don't even know why they hate each other. That's just like a family having a
feud. Because they're told they're supposed to.
This is what I'm saying. They don't even know why. If you were to ask them, why do you hate me? Now, you know, the going thing now, because they're fed a bunch of Hilla beans, and we're not going into the critical race theory. They're fed this crap, okay? It's just history. And so I know, William, I don't think we're going into that, but I know you will in the future. But my thing is this, is because hatred is spewed out of people's mouths who don't understand each other. It is terrible. For you to sit, when you were saying, Dr. Demery, you went to a Mormon church. I had Mormons come to the house. Of course, they wanted to school the girl. Well, let's sit down. Okay, let's talk.
Let me school you.
Well, yeah, I send them packing and running. I mean, that was so far. But my thing is, but did I love them any less? No. What I did was pray that God would give them an understanding, a better understanding. Do I have a patent on God's word? No, I don't, because I'm still learning myself. But I will share what I share in love. Of course, right. I'm not going to. I went to a Spanish church. I mean, I used to travel around. Y'all didn't know that, right? Mm-hmm. I used to travel around ministering to various churches. Wow. They would set a girl up, and I would minister. And I have to go to a Spanish conference. Now, I know poquito español. I know how to say hola, como estás, estoy bien, gracias, y tú. I know how to say poquito, okay? If you start rapping off to me, I'll sit there like, what'd you say? You're talking about a girl, and I didn't know.
Right.
Let me tell you something. It's amazing. When you have the same intellect as far as what you want to believe, and yeah, they believe what they wanted to believe, because a lot of it was Catholicism. I went to a place with Catholicism. Now, you know, I don't agree with a lot of their methods and their beliefs. I don't. But how dare I, because God said in love that I draw them, how dare I go in there and beat them across the head? Right. Okay, bullhorn, you trust my God. And blah, 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 blah. I know sometimes I get brutal on air and I'm asking God to help a girl. But anyway, I get brutal for a reason, for William.
It's William's fault.
Yeah, it's my fault, of course.
Yeah. And then Dr. Demery coming out the closet. Anyway, so sometimes I got to come hard, okay?
Right.
But my thing is that people know when you love them and what you share when you share it with love. You get nothing out of fighting. Just two people might get hurt and one just might get hurt and both of you might get hurt. But my thing is this, Dr. Demery said it best. We got to go back to the whole original, what God did. Now, he did call fake folk fake. He called Pharisees snakes and vipers. He didn't bite his tongue on that. So I'm allowed to call you phony if that's what you are.
Preach, okay?
And I don't have to be around you, okay? And I know some fake people, period. And I don't want you in my domain because I can't trust you. And so my thing is this, if we were to get back to the original, the White House, first I need to have a revival meeting up in the White House. And somebody give me a baptismal proof, because they're going to be held down for a long time. Anyway,
don't drown them.
Wait a minute. I'm going to hold them down while I do all the Ten Commandments, and they got to hold their breath.
You
got to
breathe. They got to breathe.
Absolutely.
But you know what? I can laugh about this. It's sad. It's very, very sad that we have to go here. Because I don't believe that God establishes people to even go through this. But you also have to put the blame where the blame lies. God is not the author of confusion. We have to know where the confusion came from. But that's no here or there. But my thing is this, if we were to love right, we know how to love. But here's the deal. we're being fed to be cautious and a little paranoid because of what's going on in the world today. Watch your back, baby. Don't you go in the store. You got the Karens getting all up in your face now. Okay, male and female. They about as crazy as a Betsy.
Oh, sick.
Just hating, throwing fingers. Don't even know why that they're at her. They've got some mental disorders. That's all I can equate it to. They have some hatred within themselves, okay? They have some hatred within them, their families. They first need to look in the mirror and know who they are and love themselves. Because when
they got a hole in their soul.
They got a hole in their soul and a hole in their head, too. But anyway, it is what it is because they need to learn that, you know what? And then they're the first one to say that they're a child of God. They're a Christian.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. That's offensive to me. Dr. Sims, now see, that is very offensive to me.
Very offensive. Very. And you just love it and having compassion. They want to shoot you, kill you, dead, and said, oh, well. No. God is going to hold all of us accountable for being our neighbor's keeper or loving our neighbor. We have to figure out who our neighbor is. We got neighbors right in our house we can't stand. Okay.
That's exactly right.
Because of their behavior. And I taught that. I said, do you know who your neighbor is? Could be your husband sitting right across the table. Okay. Could be your daughter. Could be your son. And you don't love them as equal as God told you to. Okay?
Isn't that something?
And so it is what it is, folks. And right. I think Demery's right. We need to go back to, let's go back to basics and find out this love. All this upper echelon, this out of space theory, because theory is like you're still in research. You're still trying to prove it's right. Mm-hmm. But love is love, because I had to look up that word. Everybody said, I'm not against school. Y'all know I'm not. Theologian, I'm such a theologian. And you hoeing. Uh-oh.
Preacher. No, you're right. You're right. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a world?
We know how to love, but we've been taught how to hate.
That part.
Oh my goodness. Hey, you know what? And I tell you something else. It would be such a lonely world, especially for me, if I only loved one type of person, one race. Right. And you have people that stick with their own race. Women, come on. You mean the human race? Is that what you're talking about? Because I'm gonna definitely do that. However, I have friends from all over. Okay. Right. I have friends everywhere and I've learned from them and hopefully they've learned from me and it really doesn't matter because guess what? We can all laugh and joke and have a really good time. We can enjoy music. We can enjoy philosophy. We can enjoy, history or whatever it is. And folks, if you close yourself off, it's like the Great Wall of China. The reason why China is one of the most powerful nations in the world at one time. Okay. And their demise came about, not complete destruction, but when they built the Great Wall of China. And the reason why they built the Great Wall of China was to keep others out and keep what they had in. But see, if you keep everything else out, you're not going to progress. See, once we realize that everybody needs everybody, because if you look at, let's look at the positive things that various cultures have brought to our lives. I'm talking all over the world. I mean, there's great African culture, great Chinese culture, great whatever you want to talk about, folks. Everywhere, God put all of us everywhere. My God put all of us on this earth for a reason. That is to contribute to one another and the betterment of lives. Yet we want to segregate ourselves or say, y'all stay over there and we'll stay over here. Okay. Well, really? Well, you're going to starve to death. You're going to definitely, because you have people that we need for agriculture. You have people that we need for science. You need people for medicine. We need people for science, whatever it is, astrology, astronomy.
Society.
So all of society. And I tell you, that's why we say we're getting dumber and dumber. Dumber and dumber, because if we take the good from all of us, from all of our cultures, guess what? And start building from the bottom up instead of from the top down. Because I tell you what, top down economics don't work, folks.
No, never have.
Because the big money will stay at the top and you starve the people at the bottom. Hey, how do you build a house? Do you build a house from the top first? No, you do not. You better have a foundation.
Indeed.
Okay.
You gotta be a strong one.
You better be a strong foundation and then come up to the top and everybody lives. And guess what? You wealthy folks can still stay wealthy. But guess what? The people at the bottom will not starve. They will not. And I tell you something else. Once we did finally figure that out, I don't know when we're going to figure that out. But guess what? I guarantee you have less crime too.
Yeah, but the cash flow up to them because we make them rich.
Of course.
That we the people. This, if there was no us, it would be no them. I tell these people where I live. I said, let me tell y'all something. You mess with the right one today, okay? When I come in here and you and make me act like I don't know what I'm talking about, I said, let me share something with you. I said, if we weren't here, you wouldn't be here. Not that you wouldn't have a job, but don't come in here acting cockeyed and crazy. And that's how I talk because
that's right.
You have people get fearful of people in power. I don't because I realize how that thing works. I mean, I told you about my experiences in corporate level. I had to tell them charlatans that's up at the top acting like the White House. I'm going to be real. Okay. That you be careful who you talk to and how you do people because it's these people who are making you rich. It's the ones that you're calling lowlife, uneducated, unfulfilled. It's these people who are working their behinds off to keep this company successful. I'm talking about CEOs and what have you. They looked at me like, who does she think she is? I know who I am. You need to find out. My problem is this. I had a smart mouth. Always did.
Oh, yeah. I believe that. I definitely.
You know, somebody's pulling the wagon.
That's
somebody's
right.
Got to pull the wagon.
Yeah.
I could agree more.
Those are the worker bees. The wagon doesn't move unless there's people pulling it.
Well, I'm gonna say this. I don't want to pull no wagon and them charlatans in the wagon while I'm pulling. I'm not trying to do that.
but think about this. Think about this. When is the last time these CEOs ever did any work? Most of them don't do work. They taking home. I'm talking about 50, 100. $200-300 million a year, yet they don't want to pay the people on the lower rung at least a minimum wage. Come on, man. That doesn't make any sense to me. Now, they're talking about raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour across the country. In a lot of states, it's not even $15 an hour for minimum wage. You guys already know that. Now, where in the world can you live? And can you have a decent lifestyle and living conditions in Arkansas off of $15 an hour?
If you made $15 an hour in Arkansas, you would probably be doing pretty well. This is an economically depressed area, in case you guys didn't know that. So $15 an hour for a lot of people would be a really good salary. I think down here, the minimum wage is $25.7. It's
cost of living is way lower there.
Yeah,
move to Arkansas because California is retarded.
Okay, yeah, which goes to Mike, $15 an hour in California.
Mm-mm.
Well, you know what? I'm going to take the other side here for just a bit, especially in California. $15 an hour is not a livable wage. It is, but understand that a lot of these jobs are entry level jobs. They're not meant to be a living where you can raise a family on $15 an hour. You can't do it here in California, definitely.
Well,
but
you can,
again, these are jobs that high school kids or maybe college kids do to supplement their income and stuff. So, if you think you can go flip burgers at McDonald's for $15 an hour and raise a family, you're seriously mistaken. But again, these are meant to be entry level jobs, and you stair step your way into what Dr. Sims, what Dr. Demery, what Ann has done, where you stair-step yourself into a better-paying job and a livable wage where you can raise a family. So I have a little bit of a difference here with regard to minimum wage. Minimum wage means something that it's not meant to be something you can survive on.
Well, you know, there's people on the street that are living on minimum wage. And you have professionals who are living on the streets who cannot get a job. I mean, the way the job market is right now, yes, it's for entry level, of course. However, you have people that have to, with that minimum wage, have to crowd. You have an ethnic group, and some of us, we may have done it, where we have to crowd into one locale until we get enough money. And that's wisdom, how they put their resources together. And that's good. But on the entry level today, I'm saying in California, is not going to work. You have a lot of people who are on the streets in entry level positions who cannot get an apartment. And then to, unless these youngsters are living at home with mom and daddy, it's not going to fly. It just isn't. Because we have to look at the rationale of the economic, lack here as far as getting people ahead. You're going to have to work like a workhorse 15, 20 years to even see something. But I don't know if you all remember the state staff, they picketed. Okay. They went on strike because they were working for the state. I don't know what capacity they were working for, but their job salary was $15.50 an hour working for the state. Come on. That's not going to fly. We have to look up and face reality, folks. Okay. I'm not going to make excuses for none of this crap that's going on right now. When you have these people who are pocketing money. Now, look at the lottery. The lottery is for school, right? How come the teachers have to buy materials and things like that out of their pocket?
Right.
They are not given the money that is due to them. So guess what? You got $2 million. You got $168 million, $2 billion on the lottery. And they only give the lottery winner $980 million. Which is, that's a lot of money, of course. However, but where did that other money go to when they said specifically that the lottery was projected for the schools?
People, great question.
If they will wake up and find out the ramifications of what the, where is the money going? Are they going to these fictitious accounts? Remember Madea, you know, Precious, that movie when she had all their bank, you know, anyway, they were embezzling money and putting them in different accounts. I believe this is what's going on. That money is going into somebody's pocket because it's not bettering the economy. Mm-hmm. They're not building housing like they should. They're not, the streets got potholes everywhere. Okay. They're not able to collect the water that the God gives us in rain. The food is going sky high. The gas is going sky high. They're saying electricity is getting ready to go out the roof, but yet still nobody's getting a cost of living raise. What's up with that picture?
Well, the administrators are. You know, I had a chance of talking to, I believe it was in the Claremont School District in California, one of those school districts. And one time I was working for a company, and I sold equipment to the districts. And I was asking about the lottery. I said, this lottery is just a sham, blah, 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 blah. And I said, where's the money that's going to the school districts? Well, guess what? It's not trickling down to the schools.
No, it's
going to the administrations. And giving themselves raises and things of that nature.
It's greasing the machine.
Absolutely. So, I believe that the lottery is doing what they're supposed to do or doing what they had committed to, but it's going to the administration instead of the schools. Okay.
But they paid for each student. See, this is what gets, if people would put everything together, each student that shows their self and go to school, they are getting, the government is paying the school per student, okay? Here's the bad thing about that. But what the student is getting is not what they need. I'm just going to be honest with that. They are not getting the quality of education that they need. People, we need to stop. I can't sugarcoat this anymore because it's hit me in the face a long time ago. Yeah, it might be trickling down, but let me tell you.
It's not trickling down. This is what I'm saying.
Okay,
well, it's going to the higher ups in the education.
This is what I'm saying. But the school, the students are getting money. If they do not show up to school, guess what? The parent, somebody's coming knocking on the door and finding out why your student is not in school. The parent
wants their money.
It's all about a money game.
It is.
It has nothing to do with education, doing this, that, and the other, the way they project. I mean, look, money is, the root of money is evil. Okay, the love of it is evil. And if you have people who are wicked, who are in power, who do not want anybody else to benefit but them, and who are just self-centered, self-absorbed, then guess what? All the bottom folks are going to suffer.
They are. Well, let me ask you a question. I want to pose a question to the panel. And let's talk about some possible solutions other than voting these clowns out. I think that's probably the number one thing that has to be done, because I think the average member of Congress is making $178,000 a year. Okay.
Yeah, drain the swamp.
Now, in addition to that, they have free health care. and life. All and a bunch of other a bunch of other benefits that we do not get yet. They cannot agree on reasonable health care for the average individual. You have these big fights over medical care for the citizens. Now, they will, they and most of them don't want to even pass a minimum wage law, yet these these good for nothing, do nothing politicians are making $178,000 a year. They are the biggest welfare recipients ever.
And they get that salary for life, by the way. Once they're out of Congress,
are you serious?
They still get the salary. They still get the Golden Fleece medical. They get all of that for life.
I didn't know that.
Yes, they do.
So I can serve in Congress for 2 years, and then after, if I'm voted out or whatever it is, I still get that salary.
Yep.
If you're voted out,
are you serious?
No. Once you leave office, you still get it.
Amazing. Now that I didn't even know that. I didn't know that.
And they vote themselves their own raise. Can you do that?
Oh, yeah, I do know that part.
Yeah, that is exactly right.
Can you vote yourself a raise?
I wish I could. But this is the thing. And I want to go to you and then Dr. Dimmer, because I need your input. And other than voting these clowns out, what can we do as citizens and voters? Okay. What can we do about it? Because the people that are in power, they will promise you one thing before they get elected, won't they? Okay.
They do. That's their job, is to get elected.
Well, and then how come they can't get impeached for lying?
Come on, William.
Okay.
Great question.
I'm serious. And I want you to answer this too. I've been dying for this. Let's talk about some of the members of the Supreme Court. I know I'm going to lay a lot on you right now, but I can't believe we haven't even gotten into artificial intelligence. I knew this was going to happen. But anyway, and how can we impeach some of these clowns on the Supreme Court? There's language toss around it. How come, and the Electoral College, it's all about, in my opinion, getting the right people to do the job, and presently we do not. And
well, to answer a question you put to me last time, first of all, the current minimum wage as of January 1st, 2021 in Arkansas is $11 an hour. So that comes up to $22,880 per year. And that is up from, let's see, they've been increasing it steadily since 2019.
Really?
2019, it was $9.25. Mm-hmm. In January 2020, they changed it to $10. In January 2021, they changed it to $11. So
they're going up 80 cents a year. Okay.
Hey,
keep in mind the cost of living there. It's not like California.
Well, no, the cost of living is not like California, but still, you do have a lot of poverty in Arkansas. Like, for instance, we had the Shavers Cobb Foundation, and the person who was the head of the Shavers Cobb Foundation was telling us about how in some parts of Arkansas, people still don't have access to, say, running water. You'll be surprised, but there are just a lot of economically depressed areas. Another thing, according to this article in the Associated Press from May 13, 2020, it says members of Congress do not receive their full pay upon retirement. Claim politicians receive full pay retirement benefits even after serving only one term. AP's assessment, false. Under federal law, members of Congress do not receive their full pay when they retire, and they must serve at least 5 years to be entitled to it. Attention. The facts,
thank you for that.
You're welcome. A post circulating on Facebook attempts to contrast what people who serve in the U.S. military for 20 years receive when they retire compared to those who serve in Congress. No one has been able to explain to me why young men and women who serve in the U.S. military for 20 years, risking their lives protecting freedom, and only get 50% of their base pay, while politicians hold their political pensions in the safe confines of the Capitol, protected by these same men and women, and receive full payment after serving a term, states the Post,
which has been shared more than 73,000 times on Facebook. That's completely false, said Andrew G. Biggs, a resident scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, discussing the information on retirement benefits received by those who serve in Congress. There's a 5-year vesting period. You have to work for 5 years before you qualify for benefits, said Biggs.
Thank you for the correction. I appreciate that very much.
No problem. No problem.
And
no
problem. I want to ask you a quick question though. But if I serve for at least five years, I will get a percentage of my pay. Is that correct?
Well, that's what I was saying. Before you qualify for benefits, members of the House of Representatives serve 2-year terms while senators serve 6-year terms. House members who leave after one term are not entitled to retirement benefits since they must serve at least 5 years.
At least 5 years.
At least 5 years. Congressmen and congressional staff get nearly the same pensions as other federal employees, Biggs said. Now, a federal employee pension is pretty generous by private sector standards, but that's a completely different story from claiming that congressmen receive full pension after 1 year on the job. They don't.
Yeah, but they do get a percentage of that. I'd like to know what percentage that is, because I still say they don't deserve it anyway. I don't care. I'm serious about this, because you get nothing's passed. And I'm gonna tell you something that's very serious. And these clowns aren't taking it seriously enough, folks. We've got a debt ceiling problem here that's coming up in June, and you've got people that want to toy around with that. Now, and you want to have, especially the Republican Party now, I'm gonna put this directly where it lies. They want to hold up the debt ceiling now, and they want to make all types of revisions to it, cuts and things of that nature. Now, my point here is these are debts that we owe. Okay, it has nothing to do with what else is going on. These are it's a commitment that we've already paid. I mean, we already owe for it. It's a debt that's due. Now, take the five of us. If we default and decide, I'm not going to pay my mortgage this year. I'm not going to pay my car note this year. I'm not going to pay the light bill. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In California, is Edison, right, Mike? Is it Edison there?
Yeah, let me know how that works out for you.
I know that's right.
That's exactly right. So good. Like I said, we've got evil in both sides of the Congress. Okay. Evil in both sides. However,
a lot.
You do not hold the United States hostage because you've got a hair in your nose. Okay. This is a family show, so I'm trying to keep it civil here. All right. But the point that I'm getting at, why mess around with the credit of the United States? Now, that will be a really bad scar and a really bad mark if the United States defaulted on the debt for this year. Okay. People are going to lose their jobs, Social Security payments. How many of you, ladies and gentlemen, who's receiving Social Security out there, want the government messing around with your Social Security?
No, I work hard for mine, so don't even. No, I was working since I was 11 years old. I wish you would.
Oh, Lord. She could pull she's going to pull a Madea on you.
All day long. Be still, Jesus. Yes. I wish you would.
Telling Jesus to make them be still. All right.
What did you say, Dr. Dimmer? Dr. Dimmer, what did you say?
I was 11. How old are you now?
I got you.
How about those Dodgers?
Listen, I'm not ashamed of my age because I look good. My mirror told me anyway. I will be 72 years old this year.
Wow.
Bless you.
Wow. Okay? You look awesome.
Thank you. And so that black pepper kind of stuff, yeah, I will season anybody's world. You better ask somebody.
Oh, no.
I told you, you're messing with the right one.
Oh, my God. This feels a little bit like CeCe's kitchen.
get the fire extinguisher out. You might need to bring two.
But seriously.
Don't even.
Seriously.
No,
that we have to begin with is this. And I can speak for myself. This is what I do every Sunday. I get my people to think. I don't give them the answers in my sermons because I go back and research the text.
Yes.
And then I want them to tell me what they think the text is saying. We were talking Didymus, the twin, Thomas today. Why did Thomas doubt? I mean, because the text is really clear. When you go back and read this in the Greek, it's clear, just like Peter, Thomas cursed because he said he did would not believe because he wasn't there when Jesus came at the first appearance.
Come on.
What the fact that he doubted, Thomas cursed.
Yeah,
it's clearly there in the Greek text. It doesn't come through in the translation. But here's the thing. The ultimate thing that we have to teach people, and I'm only talking about ministers, why was it that Thomas got to the point where he believed it? Because the Greek words are different between having faith and believing. Mm-hmm. It says that Thomas came to believe.
Yeah.
Didn't have faith. He came to believe. Why? Because Jesus gave him what he needed to believe. Mm-hmm. And that's what God does to us. God gives us what we need. What Mike needs is different than what I need.
Yeah.
What Amen. I need is what different than Ann needs. What Amen. You need, William, is different than what Dr. Sims needs. We all need something different. And God gives us that gift of believing. Because when you believe, that's when things happen.
Mm-hmm. I agree
that God comes to visit you when it's not about having faith. I know people can disagree with me, and that's all right. It's not about faith. It's about believing.
Come on now.
Once you believe, then God comes to visit you.
Amen. Right. Amen.
When that happens, then you go through a transformation. You get rid of all that junk in your life. You get rid of all the animosity. You get rid of the hatred. And unless preachers start teaching that, we're going to never get beyond where we were when they say one nation under who?
Uh-huh.
One nation under God? We ain't no nation, one nation under God.
Come you know on,
what God like? What Reverend Wright said, who's a member of my denomination. He said, God damn God. Ooh, it's no, not about that. And I know that's offensive to some people, but when you go back and look at it, that's what it's about. It ain't about God bless America, and I don't care if that offends people or not. It's about you understanding what the truth is. And once you get to the point where you can do that and you can teach that to your congregations and not feel like they're going to throw you out, then you're preaching because you're challenging people to the core of their belief system, not to the core of their faith, but to their belief system in terms of what they believe. Because
it's amazing that they don't throw people out who are actually hypocrites in what they're
right.
teaching.
Mm.
And it's obvious.
Right.
It's obvious.
So they don't believe what
you are absolutely
indeed.
Right, Ann. You are absolutely
yeah. they don't
right.
believe
but a lot of these preachers are afraid to preach the truth.
That part.
Well, you know, I tell you something. And then go. Let's go to Mike and then to Dr. Sims. These people, I tell you what's offensive to me. Now, I am not holier than thou ever. You guys know that. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm not going to pretend to be, but I do my best to respect, other people. But what is offensive to me, because I do believe and some things that I want to get stronger in my belief. But what is really offensive to me on my journey is that we have people who you know are hypocrites. They're talking about, they use guns and God in the same sentence.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, come on. They talk about hating somebody and then they say, well, my God says, woman, hold on. I don't know who your God is, but I don't think we're talking about the same people. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you're going to do hateful things for people, you're going to tell people what they should and should not do with their own lives. But you're going to turn around, you hypocrite, and say, you got a freedom of speech. No, you don't. You have a freedom of certain speech as long as my speech is in accord with yours.
Right.
You know, I can't stand hypocrites. I can't stand a phony.
got a problem with fakes and phonies.
I have a big problem with that. We've only got a few minutes left. So, Mike, we need to have your take. Then we're going around the table. And then, Mike, also tell us about Mad Mike and Wild Will Coast to Coast. And Wild Will, and that's right, Wild Will Coast to Coast.
I'm going to say Bill every time because that's who it really was, Wild Bill.
Look, his name, look, and number one, I hate the name Bill, and I'm not going to use it. And number two, I'm not trying to copy a cowboy. All right. Now I have nothing. Yes, Roman, hold it. I have nothing against. I have nothing against a cowboy. I have nothing against a cowboy. Okay. And my name is William, and I can choose to alter it any way I want. Mike, it's your floor.
All right.
Hey, thanks for the nice segue, by the way. Yeah. Get me in the middle of Cece's kitchen here. So I would like to thank Ann for like doing some research and educating me. I appreciate that a lot. If I'm wrong, I'll step up and say I'm wrong.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Ann. I appreciate it very much. So, I'd like to leave all of you with maybe two things. One, religion in general, and Dr. Demery, you can correct me on this if you want, but religion in general is the battle of good versus evil for a realistic religion. Now, there's some outliers that, they've got some weird ideas about religion. But I think any religion out there, whatever it might be, is the battle of good versus evil. Mm-hmm. Number two, I get upset when people, when shootings occur, mass shootings and all of this, or even, doesn't even have to be a mass shooting, when shootings occur, everyone jumps up with knee-jerk reactions and says, do something, do something, do something, do something. So the politicians, they get on their soapbox and they create some law that really doesn't do anything to prevent. So if we're going to have proper gun laws and address the issue of man killing man, then we need to do stuff that's doable, that's reasonable, that actually works. So just do something is not the answer. Do something that works, that's going to actually have an effect. So that's my second thing. And when you talk about, we talked earlier about who you date, right? So I have dated a lot of wonderful, wonderful, wonderful ladies. I don't care where you come from, what color you are. I've dated pretty much everybody. The one thing I won't do is I won't date a redhead.
He did go there, didn't he?
Those redheads.
Red, I do.
Those redheads, they're
that's
like.
That's CC? Wrong.
CC?
That's wrong. I don't care.
But so I'm going to end with that, and I'm going to say, hey, tune in on Thursday nights and listen to Wild Will and Mad Mike for our chaos and music, and we sure appreciate anyone that tunes in on Thursday nights. Wow. And I appreciate all of you because you guys lay it out there. You're very honest. You're open in your heart. You don't have a hole in your soul. And thank you for being part of what William does here with Boomerang. Thanks, William.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And?
Well, William, I want to answer your question. You wanted to know what was the percentage that they got. And according to the article I found it, they get 80%.
80?
By law, the starting amount of a member's retirement annuity may not exceed 80% of his or her final salary. And this was a report updated in August of 2019. To really get a great pension, you have to serve a long time, but it's still a good deal. Mm-hmm. And just for, so you know, 80% of $174,000 is $139,200.
Yeah, a lot of money.
So they get taken care of if they work a long time in Congress and they retire. So at the end of the day, they got a great deal if they're long-serving members of Congress. Now, as far as everything else, I want to remind you to tune in on Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock a.m. for the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. And then following that, it's the Teens Talk Truth radio show hosted by my favorite young men on the planet, AJ and Alex Taylor. And they discuss hot topics affecting teens in our society today. So that's 11 o'clock a.m. and 12 o'clock p.m. Central Time every Saturday right here on Studio WBuzz.
Yes. Dr. Demery, where did he go? Dr. Demery? Okay, did he disappear already? Dr. Demery.
He's still there.
Okay.
He's
there. Dr. Demery. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk about the, tell us about the Mentone Congregational Church and how can we find it?
Well, let me say first of all, and I'll be brief. If your faith or your religion teaches you to hate people, get rid of it. Run as fast as you can. Get away from that mess.
That's right.
Mentone Congregational Church, we start at 10 a.m. We're right in the corner of Beryl and Highway 38 in Mentone, California. Come, you will be challenged. You will not be getting to the point where you say, oh, I really like the pastor. I like what he said and this and that and the other. You will be challenged, and I'll get you to think, because that's the problem nowadays. Preachers don't want to challenge people, and they don't want to put them to the test. Mm-hmm. And we will do that at Mentone Congregational Church. God love you. God love what you're doing. William, thank you so much.
My pleasure. And, you know, folks, like you said, Dr. Demery, I believe that a lot of these preachers don't want you to think. Mm-hmm. Dr. Sims.
And since you said that, okay, you open up a can of worms, but I won't go all the way in. Yes, they don't want you to think, because then you have a self-conscious about what is actual and what is not. And then, too, what happens, it helps you to see what you're working with, what's standing in front of you, mm-hmm. if they real or if it's live or Memorex. It is what it is. And we got too many, you know, folks mm-hmm. up there. That's another subject. But anyway, Miss Cece's Kitchen is aired every Thursday. If you think you can come on in there, yeah, right. Okay, anyway, Thursday at 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 6 Central Standard Time, and 7 Eastern Standard Time. We talk about the real. Right now, we're dealing with relationships. We're dealing with the critical part of relationships, because we believe that if the home front gets right, then the church gonna get right. Because
all right.
It is what it is, and there's some of them charlatan, slew-foot, nasty pastors.
Slew-foot.
Cross-eyed. I started to say cross-eyed because they're not reading the word right. Call us 951-9987 and we'll dialogue about it, because I'm not saying all, but for the most part, we got a bunch of sellouts up there, a bunch of liars. Okay, it is what it is. So anyway, we are dealing with that in Miss Cece's Kitchen relationship, because relationship is foundational and it's based on the principles of God, period. I will not sway away from it, however, but it's built on love, and that's what we're trying to give back to the people. You have to have love. Don't get married. Don't get in no relationship if you can't love right. I'm just
all right.
Period. Okay. So come on and join us. William, I started to talk about you, but I won't do that right.
Guess what? Our next show, you can start off talking about me, so then I can talk about you, and then oh yeah, we can just have a word.
On you. I got something for you.
Uh-oh. Oh my goodness. That sounds like a threat to me. Ooh.
Uh-oh. It's a promise.
Oh, I love it. Uh-oh. I love
it. Uh-oh. Fighting words.
Okay. Anyway,
I love you too.
Lucky for you, we are out of time. Okay. Miss CC.
Isn't that you make it light on yourself.
Yeah. Okay. No. I have another show coming up, which is called Sunday Night Gold. If you haven't forgotten, Sunday Night Gold, which is coming up in less than 55 minutes. So I have to go. I will deal with you later, young lady. Okay.
Ain't nobody scared of you. You know this. Come on,
Come on, Cletus. Come on, Cletus.
Whatever. But you don't live that. You heard that, right?
Dr. Demery, Mike, I'll see you on Thursday. I know I'll talk to you before then, and we'll talk soon. I have to talk to you anyway off air. And Dr. Sims, I will deal with you later, all right? So anyway, this has been the Boomerang Radio Show. And forgive some of our guests, Dr. Sims. Forgive her. And that's okay. We're going to move right along to Sunday Night Goal here on Studio WBuzz. I have no idea what the
Dr. Demery.
I have no idea what the Jazzy One has in store for us tonight, but kick back, grab a glass, and enjoy Sunday night.
Wait, you lost control, dude.
Thanks, Mike. I really appreciate that, buddy. My good friend.
Have a blessed week, everybody.
I have Dr. Sims. Okay, don't worry about her. I've got her covered. All right. I have her. She's gonna have to deal with me.
Confidence has gotten a lot of men in trouble.
Look at
stop digging the hole, William.
That's other men. You haven't run up against Wild Will. Okay. We'll talk.
You mess with Miss Seeley now.
So
Seeley, that other handle gonna catch you.
Nobody's afraid of Seeley. All right. I'll talk to you later.
Is in Virginia.
Bye,
go
everybody.
Bye. We got to go.
Bye, y'all.
See you guys. Thank you.
Have a good time, everyone. Oh my goodness, what a great show. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
Would you like to come and try my style? A taste of something from the wilder side. Life without a care, a sweet sensation in the air. You can come and fill your fantasy.